نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين الحمد لله We have completed to a certain extent the first two ayat and verses of Surah Fatiha, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that all hamd, which is loosely translated as praise and thanks, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabb, the Lord, the nurturer, the owner, the cherisher of all the worlds and all the generations, who is the most compassionate and the most merciful. So in these two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these three qualities of Himself, and we dwelled into the deeper meanings by which we can understand the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how dependent we are on Allah, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing mercy to us, Allah is nurturing us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing compassion to us, and the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we talked a little about last week, and how much we cannot even comprehend the infinite mercy of Allah. Each and every second, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending upon us. But for a person to be deserving of the rahmah and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he needs to be careful, and he should not do anything by which he disqualifies himself of being deserving of the mercy of Allah. But despite this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that despite our sins, he continues to bless us. But not only this, someone who rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who denies even the existence of Allah, someone who may even, out of his own ignorance and jahala, swear at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say evil things with regards to Allah, the messenger of Allah, the Quran, even on such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows mercy in this world by not depriving them of sustenance, by giving them oxygen to breathe, giving them respite, and giving them opportunity after opportunity to turn back to Allah and to repent before it's too late. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to show mercy after mercy after mercy. In today's verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions Malik Yawm al-Din. From this we understand, we can connect the two ayat. Allah first mentioned that He is the most merciful, the most compassionate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to bless us and favor us with many millions and billions and trillions of blessings. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us that do not take advantage. This mercy that I am showing you, this kindness that I am showing you, this rahmah which I am sending down upon you, do not think that I am unable to hold you to account. Because there is a day to come. And when that day comes, you will have to answer to Allah. You will have to account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that you have done. And if the fadl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not shower you, does not encompass you, then from the other verses of the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the abode for such a person is very terrifying. It is human nature that when a person, he shows kindness to someone, let's take the example of a teacher. There's a new teacher who is teaching a class, and he continues to be merciful. Children do something wrong, he continues to forgive and forget, ignoring it. And what's human nature? The children, they'll take advantage of the teacher. and don't take him seriously. And even when the teacher will try to be serious, he'll have lost control over the class. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that my rahmah and my mercy is ever descending upon you. And you may continue to misbehave. And you may continue to disobey me and do those things which you should not be doing. But remember, a day is coming wherein you will have to answer to me. So, continually remembering the day of judgment, that day when we will be resurrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will help a person stay in line. And this is what is known in the terminology of the Sufia and the Mashayikh as Muraqabay Maut, that a person should meditate over death. Because in this worldly life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this world such that it is lush, hudratun, hulwatun, khadiratun. It is very sweet. It attracts a person. It makes a person ghafil and negligent. For in order for a person to realign his focus and focus on what he should be focusing on, a person needs to continuously remember death. Remember that this world is not everything. A day will have to come when I will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold me to task for everything that I have done. So on a daily basis, if a person can, this will be really good. If not, on a weekly basis, at least on a monthly basis, a person should do muraqabah of maut. Now this may sound to me, what does a person need to do? Very simple. Muraqabah just means meditation. That a person, for a few moments, he closes his eyes and he just ponders over the stages of death. That he imagines to himself that Malakul Maut and the angel of death is coming to me now. He's extracting my soul. Am I ready to meet Allah? Am I ready to go into the hereafter? Will my soul be wanting to come out of this body and go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or will it want to stay in this dunya? Is my ta'alluq and my connection with this dunya or is it with the akhirah? After my soul is extracted, people will be coming, the doctors will be coming, they'll try to bring me back, make me breathe again. But on that day, when my soul has left his body, nothing will work. No medicine will work, no doctor will be of any benefit. My family will be crying because they have lost their father, their brother, their son, whoever it may be. And swiftly people will start making preparations for my janazah. I'll be taken for my ghusl. People will be bathing me, I can't even move. And they will be wrapping me in the coffin, my expensive clothes, those clothes by which I used to show off. Everything will be gone, and I'll be wrapped in those simple sheets of white cloth. Thereafter, I will be made to go to the front, and people will read my janazah salah. Will people even come for my janazah salah? How many people will come? How many people will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for me? I do not even know. How much effort do I make for other people that other people make effort for me? Thereafter, people will take me to the qabristan, they will bury me, and in a few moments people will forget about me. My wealth, my house, my car, everything is gone. Nothing will help me. And thereafter, Munkar and Nakir will come and they will ask me the questions. مَا رَبُّكُ مَا دِينُكُ مَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. Who is your Lord? What is your deen? What do you say with regards to this person being Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And these questions may seem very easy in this world, but in the grave it is not a person's tongue that will speak, it will be a person's heart. If we have Allah and Rasul in our heart, then it will be easy for us to answer. But if our heart is filled with the dunya, our whole life is revolves around dunya, education, work, money, car, house, this, that, this, that, entertainment after entertainment. I just want to enjoy myself, enjoy myself, enjoy myself, my desires. Our heart won't be able to answer. And then a person should imagine what will happen to him in the grave. Imagine him being resurrected by Allah, standing in front of Allah, and Allah showing us our book of deeds and asking me that my servant, why did you do this? When a person constantly thinks about this, daily basis, weekly basis, inshallah, the reality of death will be embedded in a person's heart, and for a person to stay away from sin, it will be easier. If a person completely disregards death, and completely disregards the hereafter, which is the effort of shaitan. Shaitan says, enjoy your life now. Just do it now. We'll worry about that later. When we get a bit older. The young ones, shaitan will ask about long life and to me. When I become an adult. When I become a parent. The ones who are already reached the 20s, 30s, you know, once I start getting white hair, once I reach my 40s, 50s, this tasbih and this shaitan, it never makes us want to worry, make worrying concern now. Always later. And before a person knows it, it's too late. So constantly remind yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is compassionate. But I should not take advantage of the mercy of Allah. And very foolish would be that person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of how much rahmah and mercy he shows. Even in this dunya, in this world, we can understand from our own nature as well that when we're kind to someone and someone takes advantage of our kindness, how do you feel? A person feels hurt. And the punishment that will be shown to a child or to someone whom you are kind to will be much more severe than someone that you are not kind to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every second He is blessing us with His mercy, with His blessings. And if we take advantage of this and think to ourselves that, you know, nothing's happening, a person should have great worry and concern of what will happen in the hereafter. So Maliki Yawm al-Din, the owner of the day of judgment or the day of recompense. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to give us a little taster, He sends down a reminder in this world. He will put you through hardship, something will go wrong. And this is also a mercy from Allah. That before you face the everlasting punishment in the hereafter, the punishment of the akhirah, which will be much more greater, Allah gives us a little taster, just to wake us up. That my servant, ponder over your life. What are you doing? Wake up from this slumber and rectify your life before it's too late. Something happens to us in this dunya, little accident, something goes wrong financially, whatever it may be, and a person becomes so perturbed, a person becomes so worried, a person can become depressed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sometimes reminding us that if such a small trial in this dunya is making you so worried and concerned and so upset, imagine what will happen in the hereafter. So this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is trying to wake us up from this sleep, wake us up from this slumber, and trying to take us towards Him. Maliki Yawm al-Din, there is another qira'ah which is Maliki Yawm al-Din. So Malik means the owner, and Malik will mean the king. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the owner on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the king on the day of Qiyamah. Now just a few words with regards to the qira'ah. So the qira'ah that we read in the Mus'haf is just one qira'ah. Usually the most famous qira'ah is the qira'ah of Hafs. Of Imam Asim, rahimahullah ta'ala. But there are also other qira'at as well. And all of these qira'at and these recitations of the Quran are narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And each and every one of them is correct. Once Umar radiallahu anhu, he heard someone reciting the Quran in a different manner than he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu himself. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he got angry. And he got hold of the person and he took him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that this person, he is reciting the Quran wrong. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that, read. So he read in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he told Umar radiallahu anhu, you read. After hearing both recitations, he said that both of them are correct. Because the Quran was revealed like this, and the Quran was revealed like this as well. And he mentioned that the Quran was revealed upon sab'atu ahruf, seven ahruf. This is a very technical debate, but the crux or the ulama have mentioned is that there are seven different types of changes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted in the Quran, which were revealed to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes some letters will change, sometimes certain words will change, sometimes one word, one qira'ah would be in front, sometimes another one would be behind. Sometimes it is just the pronunciation. So just how we have different dialects in English as well. Different accents in English as well. You have different accents in Arabic as well. So in order to make it easier for the Ummah and for the Arabs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the Quran to be read in different ways and different manners. And all of this was encompassed within the qira'at al-mutawatira. The qira'at al-mutawatira means those qira'at and recitations which have reached us through mass transmission. So a large number of sahaba read to a large number of tabi'een, and likewise until today. And the masters of qira'at, the qura', they are able to recite in the different methods. A person who is not well versed in the field of qira'at, he shouldn't copy someone. And start reciting in a different way. Maliki yawmi, maliki yawmi ddin, or wadduha, wadduhi, he starts praying. When a person is not aware of the rules and where it can be, where it cannot be, a person should just stick to what he has been taught by his teacher. And if a person has shawq and he wants to, then he should go, take out time, go to the qura' and learn the different recitations. But each qira'ah is correct, and each qira'ah gives us a different perspective of the Qur'an as well. So Malik means the owner, and Malik means the king. What we can understand from this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has full authority on the day of Qiyamah. In this world, when a person owns something, we can own something, but we may not have full authority over this. I mentioned this before as well. A person, he owns his house, but he does not have full authority over his house. He cannot do with his house whatever he wants. He wants to build an extension, two-story, double-story extension. He can't unless the council give him the authorization, they give him the permission. A person, he owns his car, doesn't mean he can drive 100 miles per hour on Derby Street. You have ownership of your car, but you do not have full authority. You can't do whatever you want. You're still bound by certain regulations. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik, and Allah is Malik as well. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of us, and Allah has full authority over us as well. That He can do whatever He wants, and there is no one to question Allah. There's no rules and regulations for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can do whatever He wants. Now question might arise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has full authority over us in this world as well. So why has specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Malik yawm al-deen? That on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the Malik. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the Malik. This applies today as well. So the scholars mentioned, the reason for this is that in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept or has given us some sort of ownership. In the apparent sense, we do have some sort of ownership. We own certain things. Or we may have a king who has authority over his people. Prime minister who has authority over his people. Which is temporary. We have temporary ownership in this world. We have temporary authority over this world. But on the day of Qiyamah, there will be no ownership. There will be no authority. Every ownership and every authority will remain solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ For whom is authority, for whom is ownership today? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْطَهَارِ Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the day of Qiyamah, there will be no one who owns such a mansion, someone who has authority over certain person. There will be nothing. Everything will solely be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent that a person will not even be able to move on the day of Qiyamah without the permission of Allah. One narration comes that the last person to be taken out of Jahannam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him out of Jahannam, and he'll be made to face Jahannam. So he won't be in Jahannam, he'll be out of Jahannam, but he'll be facing Jahannam. But the scorching heat and the blazing heat of the fire of Jahannam, it will be harming him. It will be making him perturbed. So he will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, just turn my face away. Just turn my face away from the fire of Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that, okay, Ibn Adam, I'll do this for you, but do you promise that you won't ask for anything else after this? He says, I promise. Allah, I promise. Just turn my face away and I won't ask for anything else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn him away. And then he will see Jannah. And when he sees Jannah and the blessings of Jannah, then he'll be mesmerized by this. And after a little while, he'll ask Allah that, oh Allah, just bring me closer to Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, oh Ibn Adam, you're such a deceiver. You lie so much. You promised that you wouldn't. Why are you asking for this? He said, Allah, just bring me closer to Jannah, I won't ask for anything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring him closer, and slowly so the nation goes on until he is entered into Jannah through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a Jannah which is 10 times bigger than this universe. But the point I was trying to get across is that on the day of Qiyamah, a person won't even be able to turn his face. Certain people who wish to do sajda on the day of Qiyamah, they'll be unable to, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give them the ability. Certain people will be made to walk on their faces. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us the ability to walk on our feet, certain people, because of their misdeeds and how they disobeyed Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them walk on their faces. Their feet will be in the air and will be walking on their faces. So why? Because Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show his authority that no one can do anything without the permission of Allah. So Yawmiddin, the day of recompense. Deen means when a person is given complete and utter justice. Whatever a person has done, he is repaid for that. There is no ziyadati, they say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not oppress someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give a person more punishment than he deserves. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides in terms of punishment on the day of Qiyamah will be whatever a person deserves. Kama turini tudan. In Arabic, the saying goes that however you deal with people, that's how you will be dealt with. Whatever we do, that's how we will be repaid on the day of Qiyamah. So on the day of Qiyamah, there will only be two choices. One is the adl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the justice of Allah, and one is the fadl and the grace of Allah. If Allah chooses to enter a person into Jannah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to forgive a person, this is fadl. This is the grace of Allah. This is the rahmah and the mercy of Allah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to punish a person, then this is adl. This is justice. This is what a person deserves. So when we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to ask for the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah. Because without the fadl and grace of Allah, no one will be successful. Part of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in the hadith, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ لَيَنْجُوَ أَحَدُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ That none of you or no one will gain success on the day of Qiyamah through his own actions. That because of his actions, he deserves to go in Jannah. This will not happen on the day of Qiyamah. So the Sahaba, they asked, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ That even you, O the Prophet of Allah, you are the greatest worshipper of Allah. You are the most beloved of Allah. Even you, because of your actions, you won't be made to enter into Jannah. He said, وَلَا أَنَا Even me. إِلَّا يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهِ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers me in His mercy and His grace, only then will I be able to enter Jannah. So when this is the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are me and me? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to forgive a person, chooses to enter a person into Jannah, then this is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever is punished on the day of Qiyamah, this is adl. And this will be justice, and this will be what a person deserves. In another hadith, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned that whoever is taken for account on the day of Qiyamah, meaning he is taken to task by Allah, then surely he will be doomed. So Aisha radiallahu anha, when she heard this hadith of Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was so clever, she was so intellectual, and she had the Quran and the hadith of Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of her. But as soon as she heard this, she had this objection. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَمَا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا That the person who is given his book of deeds in his right hand, for him will be an easy accounting. So he said that if you are saying that every person who will have to give account on the day of Qiyamah, he is doomed, then what about these people? The people are given their book of deeds in their right hand. Allah mentioned that they will have an easy reckoning and they will be made to enter into Jannah. Part of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that hisaba yaseera. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an easy accounting, in reality this is not really accounting. But he says, innama huwa 'ard. It is only that a person will be presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take that person to task. The angels will not start questioning that person. But rather, they look through his book of deeds, and it's okay. They might ask a question before you can even answer. They'll move on. Okay. Yes, Salah, you didn't pray Salah properly. Even before the person can answer, let's move on to Zakat. Okay, let's go on to Sawm. Like this, and they'll say, it's okay, you go. And there won't be much accounting. But the moment where the angels are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stop and ask, why did you do this? So ye jo cue hai, us cue ka jawab kisi ke paas nahi hoga. That why did you do this? No one can answer. Why did you disobey me? If a person is questioned by Allah, no one will be answered and will be able to answer, and such a person will surely be doomed. That's why we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah grant me an easy reckoning. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera. Wa la tuhasibna hisaban aseera. That Allah give us an easy reckoning, not give us a difficult reckoning. Just a few more points before we finish. That Maliki Yawmuddin, the day of recompense is the day of judgment. So if in this world a person does not fully receive anything, then a person should not be perturbed. A person should not be worried. A person should not think to himself, I'm performing salah. I give my zakat. I give sadaqah. I do this. Why do I not have an easy life? This person, he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. He's so happy. He's got this, he's got that. This is the wrong way of thinking. Because the day of recompense and day of taking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the akhirah. So whatever happens in this world, it's fine. Even if a person is wronged by someone, and a person is not able to avenge himself, a person is not able to take revenge from that person, as believers, we should feel confident that Maliki Yawmuddin, okay, in this world, he has authority over me, he can overpower me, he can oppress me, but a day will come wherein he will have to answer to Allah. And I will take my revenge on that day in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for a day of judgment to happen, this is something which logic demands as well. Because in this world, no matter how much a person tries, full justice cannot be given. In Islam, if a person murders an innocent soul, the punishment is that such a person will be killed. So you have one person who has killed one person, and you have another person who has killed 1,000 people. Both of them will be given the same punishment. He will be killed and he will be killed. But the crime the second person committed was much worse. He killed 1,000 people. But obviously a person only has one life. You can't bring him alive and kill him again. Bring him alive and kill him again. So this demands that in order for full justice to happen, there has to be another life. If there is no other life, then justice in this world is completely impossible. And the last point, some of the scholars mentioned, Maliki Yawmuddin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the owner on the day of Qiyamah. Now, owner of what? So in Arabic language, when something is left vague, then that shows umum. That shows that it encompasses everything. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the one who has ownership and authority in the day of Qiyamah, he has not specified it to anything. This means that each and everything, whoever it may be, whatever it may be, will be under the ownership and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to understand and appreciate the Quran. May He grant us the ability to prepare for the day of judgment, and may He grant us all an easy reckoning. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi.